Great job, guys. All right, take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Timothy tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in your Bibles tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in your Bibles this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in your Bibles tonight. Mrs. Cramper, please let your husband know next time he's in, he's preaching here. All right, so he was supposed to preach here back in February, and he supposedly got sick. I still don't know if he did that, but I just don't think he wanted to preach. So 1 Timothy chapter number 2 tonight in your Bible. And notice there in verse number 1, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And I like to preach on this subject, first things first. Let's pray together, and then we'll dive in tonight. Father, speak to us, we pray. Lord, I pray in my life that I would do first things first. And I pray that would be the case in your people as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Janice, do you have my phone? Oh, boy. I'm all right. Listen, I do not have a clock here, so you guys should be nervous. All right, all right. We'll just dive in, and when my wife says it's time to quit, we'll quit. All right. But I think about it as we come here to 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Of course, as we've been going through the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, his young protege in the faith, his apprentice in the ministry. And Paul is simply reminding Timothy of things that need to be in his life as a God-called preacher. And we just dealt in the previous verse of 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 20, about Hymenaeus and Alexander, who Paul had delivered them unto Satan. Here were men that had made the choice to walk away from the calling of God. They had made the choice to disobey God, and they were causing problems in the local church. And Paul had to deal with those issues. And as Paul comes here to chapter number 2 and verse number 1, he says, listen, Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, he says, let me remind you, Timothy, there are some things in life and there are some things in ministry that have to be number one. Look, I just want to back up really and then we'll dive into it this evening. But look in verse number 7, Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You know, a lot of times in our lives we look at the preaching ministry and we say, boy, that is the most important part of the church. You know what I'm talking about? Man, we come to church and what's it centered around? It's centered around preaching the Word of God. Hey, Paul says, Timothy, that's not the most important thing. You look over in verse number 4, he says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Verse 5 and 6, he goes on to talk about how Jesus Christ is the one that gave himself to be our propitiation and our salvation. But more important than proclaiming that message, more important than going out in the highways and hedges, that's, you know, it's not preaching, it's not soul winning, it's not in verse number 2 at the end, it says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What's the most important thing when it comes to Timothy preaching the Word of God? What's the most important? What's got to be number one? And obviously we understand that all these things are important, but Paul says, Timothy, I want you to understand something. You better not put the cart before the horse. Hey, you better not make preaching number one. You better not make the ministry number one. You better not make your lifestyle that you're living number one. Timothy, you better make sure that you are bathing your life in prayer. Hey, let me remind you, we've talked about the last couple months, the importance of praying, the importance of seeking the face of God. Paul says, Timothy, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, number one, Timothy, you have got to be a man of God and a lady of God that seeks the face of God in prayer. I've quoted in Sunday school, Ravenhall said about the preachers not praying 2 hours a day come a dime a dozen.
And do you know how sad that is? Man, there are so many preachers that will not hit the prayer closet for 2 hours a day. There are so many Christians that get up in the morning and they'll check Facebook and they'll check Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all that stuff. And they'll check Fox News and ESPN. They'll drink their coffee and they'll go out and they will not spend time with God on their knees in prayer. Hey, let me say, child of God, I exhort therefore that first of all. Hey, before you leave your house on Tuesday morning to go to work. Hey, before you get up to drink your coffee. Before you do of anything of importance and of value, make sure you heed Paul's admonition to seek God's face in prayer. Hey, the importance of following the instructions. I think about Christmas time. I've already mentioned in previous sermons how I can't stand the toys at Christmas time. I love Christmas as a whole, but I hate the assembly process because now that falls upon my shoulders, right? And as a dad, what happens? My wife, well, excuse me, I'm not going to tell who goes shopping, all right? But man, they go shopping, and man, here comes all those different toys, right? You know, and my wife brings it home. Hey, here's what I got, Josiah, Lily, Leah, Lila. And I look at that, and I just shake my head, and I'm like, I don't enjoy this. Why? Because I've got to assemble it, right? And it's usually on Christmas Eve. And there I am, it should be, you know, it should be eggnog, and it should be ginger snap cookies, and it should be peppermint, you know, those candy canes, and boy, I'd be looking at the Christmas tree, not for me, I'm looking at the tools, and I'm looking at the instruction manual. You know, I think about when it comes to assembling little kid toys, you know what you got to do? You've got to follow it down to the T. I'm talking about, man, you got to make sure you get the right screw. Because I learned putting my kids' bunk beds together. If you have a big one, it's going to go right through the sidewall, and then your daughter's going to complain about it. And so you got to have the right screw right, and you got to have the right board, and you better make sure you have A and B lined up just exactly right. You better follow the instructions, or you're going to have a messed up, disorganized gift on Christmas morning. Hey, Paul says, Timothy, let me instruct you in some things. He said, I exhort, therefore, first of all, what? That number one, we be individuals that pray. What's the first step to be a God-called preacher, a godly man of God, a godly lady for God? Is number one is the prayer time. His instruction, therefore, whenever you see that word therefore, you always got to go back and see what it's there for. Why was Paul writing to Timothy? Why was he reminding him of putting first things first? Because verse 20, chapter number 1, he talked about Hymenaeus and Alexander who had made shipwreck of their life. They had messed up their spiritual lives. Why? Because they got things out of order. Yeah, I know many preachers, I know many deacons, many Christians, many Sunday school teachers that have messed up their life. Why? Because they got things out of order. I think about some good friends of mine right now, good godly or good preachers. They can preach like nobody's business. Man, they can sing like nobody's business. One of my best friends, I texted him last week, and one of my best friends, one of the greatest voices that I've ever heard sing. And now he's out selling tires, not doing what God's called him to do. Why? Because he had great talent in singing, but you know what he wasn't doing? He wasn't spending time with God in prayer. He says, Timothy, hey, doesn't matter how great you can preach, or doesn't matter how well you can sing, doesn't matter what your abilities may be, if you fail to get along with God in prayer, you're going to make a mess of your life. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, what? He gives the illustration of, or the instruction in prayer. He says, first of all, it's the most important thing in our life. God has called us unto prayer. He's called us to pray. He has not called us to preach, teach, sing, serve, be a deacon, cut the grass, clean the church. He has called us to be with him and to spend time with him. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. One person said this, much prayer equals much power. No prayer equals no power. When a local church ceases to depend upon prayer, God ceases to bless that ministry. Warren Wiersbe said that. He said that when a local church ceases to depend on prayer, God ceases to bless the ministry. So we see the instruction. First of all, he gives the illustration. He says, all right, how are we to pray? He says, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. He gives four different kinds of prayers. If my memory serves me correctly from preaching on prayer and to just studying on prayer, I believe there's 13 different words that are used in the Word of God to describe and illustrate prayer. And there's different ways and just different, you know, illustrations that illustrate it. But I think about these illustrations. Paul says, I adore, first of all, prayer, that supplications. What are supplications? Supplications are offering a request for a felt need. Timothy, man, you're to bring those supplications before the Lord. You've got a need. You've got a burden. Man, you're not going to go text everybody first. No, you're going to bring it to the Lord. You've got something weighing you down. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Hey, take those supplications to the Lord. And as that song goes, leave your heavy burden with the Lord, right? We are to give our burdens to the Savior. He said, take your supplications to the Lord. He says, not only that, supplications. Next is prayers. What are prayers? Prayers are worship and communing with Almighty God. When I enter into the prayer closet, when I get alone with God, it may be on the porch swing, it may be in the closet, it may be in your car driving down the road, it may be at a church altar, it may be by your couch, but wherever you get alone with God, then you better make sure you worship Him. You better make sure that there is that adoration, there is that communion, there is that thanking Him. You know, you realize one day in heaven, that's what we're going to do full time. Man, it's not going to be, you know, let's sit around and talk about Alabama or Auburn, you know. It's not going to be about that. It's not going to be, you know, let's talk about, you know, how our stocks are doing. It's not going to be, let's sit around and talk about how hot or how cold it is. No, when we are in heaven, we're going to be worshiping the Savior. And you know, unfortunately, I find in my own life so many times, what's my prayer life consist of? Well, here's all my supplications. Here's all my needs. And very little adoration, very little time with God. There's the supplication, prayers. He says intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is one person illustrated this way. He said to draw near to a person and converse confidently with them. You know, that's what I do. That's what you are. That's what we do when we intercede on behalf of others. Can I ask you, church, are you interceding on the behalf of one another? I know my wife and I, we pray for you guys every day. I wonder, are you praying one for another? Are you praying? Let me ask you this. Are you praying that we would be thankful? You know, the Bible talks about the will of God. You say, Pastor, how am I to intercede one for another? Well, the Bible says that we ought to be, you know, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that we'd be thankful. Are you praying that we'd be thankful? Are we a thankful people? Let me ask you, are you praying that we would be pure? What's the will of God? That we would abstain from fornication. Let me just say, our marriages are under major attack. And I think about you turn the television on, you turn the computer on, wherever it's at, man, that pornography is running rampant. And it's just out there. It doesn't matter where you're at, it's out there. And I wonder, are you praying one for another that God would guide and guard the hearts of this church? Are you praying for the marriages? Are you praying one for another that God would strengthen your marriage and keep your marriage pure and holy? Are we praying one for another? I think about a friend of mine up in Chicago. He took over a church for, a guy that messed up. He's in jail right now and he's going to be in jail for quite some time. But I heard him preach and heard him pray. And he's praying for the church. He said, Lord, he said, I pray that you would keep our church pure. You know, that's what I'm praying for those of you that are married. And I'm praying that God would keep your marriage pure. That God would keep you. We're to intercede on the behalf of others. The illustration is Esther. Remember when Esther stood before the king? Mordecai sent her news that the Jews are going to be wiped out because of Haman. Haman hated the Jews. And the decree was signed by the king. And Mordecai said to Esther, Esther, listen, you've got to go before the king and you've got to intercede on behalf of your people. And Esther said, well, maybe, what if I die? I love what Mordecai said. He said, maybe God's placed you there for such a time as this, to intercede on the behalf of somebody else. And what did she do? She stood before the king. She said, please don't let my people die. She was willing to risk her life on the behalf of somebody else. Hey, I wonder tonight, when's the last time you were willing to lay your life out for somebody else? I remember when I was in college, I had a friend of mine by the name of Nick. And Nick was a guy that got a lot of demerits. And don't look at me and say, Pastor, that sounds like all your friends. That really is the case. All my friends got a lot of demerits and were troublemakers. But Nick was one of those guys. He came to school and was there for like 9 weeks. It was fall break. Went home, got in trouble at home. And he was already campus when he went home, which to get campus, you need 75 demerits. And came back. And they gave him another 50 demerits. 125 is when you got kicked out. And they said, Nick, we're going to give you one more shot. You mess up. 9 more weeks till the semester's over. If you mess up, you're out. Well, he messed up again. And man, I remember he came to me. He's like, man, they're probably going to kick me out. I got to meet with the discipline committee because I got more demerits. And I remember I picked up the phone. I called the dean of men, and I said, Brother Beal, I said, please don't kick Nick out. He's really trying his best. I think he got kicked out because I did that. And Brother Bill and I are not on good talking terms then, and we're fine now. But he was the dean. He knew all my dirt, right? I tried to intercede on behalf of Nick, right? Hey, Nick was getting kicked out. Please don't kick him out. Give me some of his demerits. No, I'm about ready to get kicked out, so don't do that. But interceding on the behalf of somebody else. When's the last time you did that in your prayer life? We see the supplications is offering requests or felt need. Prayers is that worship. Interceding is going before and pleading. And it says giving of thanks. The Bible says that we are in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You know, you may be facing cancer. This week you may face a loss in your family. This week you may face some deep, deep, dark trial that you've got to bear. Listen, in the midst of those situations, man, thank God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm thankful when I'm on the mountaintop. Hey, listen, I'm thankful when I've got, you know, $5,000 in the bank and the car is running good and I'm riding high. Dunkin' Donuts gave me a free coffee. I'm happy when that takes place, right? But you know, it's in the valleys. That's where the pruning takes place. That's when God tries us. That's when God grows us. Hey, no matter what you go through, in everything, give thanks. So Paul says, here's the instruction. I exhort therefore that first of all, it's number one, make sure it's the priority in your life, the illustration on how we ought to pray. And then notice in verse number one at the end, it says, and giving it thanks be made for all men. Who are we to pray for? The individuals that Paul instructed them to pray for. He said we're to pray for all men. In verse 2, he expounds upon that. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Timothy, who are you to pray for? Who am I to pray for? We are to pray for all men. What are we to pray for? We're to pray that they get saved. The will of God is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. We're to pray for everybody. That, you know what we're to pray? And by the way, it's just not some generic thing. What was Paul saying? He's saying, listen, you better call out people's names to the Lord. You ought to lift up each other to the Lord. He says, for kings. You know, I find it amazing that Paul would say, pray for the kings. You say, why is that, Pastor? Because Nero was the king of the Roman Empire. Nero was one bad dude. Nero was the god, could I say, little G-O-D, that everybody would worship. You'd pray to Nero. He was the one that you'd follow. Hey, Nero was the guy, and all of a sudden here comes Jesus Christ on the scene, right? Worshiping the one true God. Man, Jesus Christ and Nero had big-time competition. And what was Paul saying? He says, listen, you better pray for Nero. You better pray for the authority. You better pray for the kings and leadership that God's placed in your life. You realize that Nero was the one that would one day sign Paul's death warrant? He was the one that would say, Peter, you're to be executed. I think about how Nero, you know how wicked and vile he was? He would take Christians and he would put them on torches. He'd dip them in tar and he would light his gardens at night with those Christians. A wicked man. But you know what Paul said? He said, I'm not calling you to a revolution. He says, I'm not calling you out to protest. He said, don't call the ACLU. He said, don't get on CNBC or Fox News or whatever, CNN, and talk about how awful you've had it. No, Paul said, here's what I'm exhorting you to do. I'm exhorting you to pray for the kings, for those in authority. Can I ask you, are you praying for those the authority in your life? We all have authority in our life. We all have somebody that is over us. Are you praying for Governor Bentley? Are you praying for President Obama? Are you praying for Mayor Tommy? Are you praying for the leadership here in this area? Are you praying for your boss? You say, well, preacher, man, he needs to give me a raise. Well, pray for him. Are you praying for the people that God's placed over you? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for your parents? Are you praying one for another? He said, pray for the kings, and he says, it goes on in verse 2, and for all that are in authority. Why? Why are we to pray? What are we to pray? What's the purpose of prayer? That, this is the explanation, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Paul says, number one, the first thing in our life is we better make sure we're praying. But the reason we're praying, the reason we're asking God to bless the kings and the authority, is so that way we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Is that the end result? Is that, you know what? We wouldn't necessarily have to suffer persecution. That we wouldn't have to struggle. That we would simply keep on going forward for God. I love what Mary, Queen of Scotland, said of John Knox. She said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than any army that I've ever faced. You know, John Knox was a man of prayer. He was a man that knew how to get a hold of God. And the Queen of Scotland said, I fear John Knox's prayers more than any
army I've ever faced in my life. Hey, can I ask you this evening, does this church represent a praying people? You read about David Brainerd, a man that prayed. You read about George Mueller, a man that prayed. You read about Jim Elliot, a man that prayed. You know, we can go down the list of great men and ladies of God that prayed. I wonder tonight, are you an individual that prays? Are you an individual that seeks the face of God? Are you wrestling? You know, we've taught on prayer here the last couple months in Sunday school. I wonder, has it just been academic? Has it just appealed to your brain and maybe you've got some nuggets? Or is it something that you're implementing in your life? And then you are seeking God's face on a more daily basis. You're seeing God answer prayer. Are we individuals that are given completely to prayer? Paul says, Timothy, make no doubt about it. You can preach like nobody's business. Man, you can sing, and boy, you know, you give chills to everybody that hears you. Timothy, you can be the greatest soul winner. You can be the greatest deacon, Sunday school teacher. You can do all these things. But Timothy, let me remind you, if you don't want to make a shipwreck of your life like Hymenaeus and Alexander, you better make sure that you're seeking the face of God in prayer. I wonder tonight, Christian, are you an individual that seeks God's face in prayer? Step number one to a successful Christian life is seeking God's face in prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I thank you so much for the importance of prayer. Thank you that we can pray. Lord, we can come boldly into your presence. And Lord, we can talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, help us to avail ourselves of that. Help us not to just cast that aside and think of it no big deal. But Lord, help us to be willing to spend time with you in prayer. Let's not sing about it. Let's just not talk about it. But let's be men of God and ladies of God given to prayer. Lord, I pray we pray one for another. Pray for this church. Lord, let us continue to see people saved and lives transformed for you. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen. Well, it's kind of unique. The Lord just keeps on hitting prayer and prayer and prayer. I think there's a common theme here, folks, that the Lord's trying to tell us about. You know, let's make sure we pray this week and to pray one for another. But we love you and we're praying for you. And if there's anything we can do for you, like I said, feel free to call us, text us, do whatever. And if I'm sleeping, Chrissy will answer the phone, all right? So let's make sure we do that. But we're going to stand. We're going to sing that song yesterday, today.